I'm Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund, and this is The Next Page. Hello there.
Hi, happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary to you, too. We are two today.
Yes, our podcast wow. turned two.
2 years old.
Hopefully not the terrible twos. These are the terrific twos.
The terrific twos. Our listeners in a couple months might be able to tell us, were they the terrific twos or the terrible twos? No, I think they're going to be terrific, because I think when we talked about what we're looking to do in this next year, we've got some exciting things. We already did that with the interview of the folks from PEB and P-TECH.
Mm-hmm.
I think we got a great topic today. I'm going to make you wait. I'm going to hold some suspense to not tell you what we're going to talk about next week, but I've got some ideas that I think are going to be great.
Great.
So, wow. This is our 105th episode.
Wow.
So when we started 2 years ago, did you think we'd last 2 years?
Yeah, I did.
Really?
I did.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew we had committed. Tim said we had to do it for, 6 months?
A year. No, he told me a year. We had to commit to a year.
So, we already had... We had it in our minds that we'd be doing it for 52 episodes. So I don't know. I think we've just, it's just part of who I am now.
Same here. It's just, like every week. We do this every week. We do a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And my goal too is, and I know it's yours, that we don't want to just do a podcast. We want to add value to our listeners. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping we're doing that. I'm hearing good things from people. People are responding and I hope you're seeing those too, so we're doing it.
Yep.
And today, I think when people looked at my blog post this morning, they were shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is not what I would sound like, because the title was, Your Employees Are Not Your Greatest Assets.
When I first saw this come through, I opened it, I saw the title, and I was like, okay, I'll have to come back and change that.
It's a typo. Dave screwed up on the title.
And then as I read, I said, okay, no, I guess I will leave it. But
yes,
definitely got my attention.
And I hope I hope everybody that saw the blog post title clicked to open it.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see, did Marissa miss a typo? No. Now, I didn't generate that wonderful comment on my own. I stole it from Jim Collins. Mm-hmm. In his book, Good to Great, he says... Your greatest asset is not your employees.
Mm-hmm.
And then he pauses or starts another sentence that says, your greatest asset are the right employees.
Mm-hmm.
And he is so true. And people know that I'm all about, I am a people-focused leader. Of course, I guess you couldn't be a leader if you're not people-focused.
Mm-hmm.
But it is all about the employees. But it really is all about the right employees. And especially in a tight labor market, I think we have a tendency, a temptation to just fill a spot with somebody that we think is good.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're okay. No, Jim Collins says, leave it blank. Because the worst thing we can do is put an employee in a seat that is not the right employee for that spot. And I really struggled with, is it right? Is it best? And my point for choosing right is that I think there is the right fit. And it's the person that brings what we need to that position. And waiting a month or 2 months to make that right hire or correct hire is clearly the best thing to do. Because let's look at it this way. Somebody says, well, no, we need somebody in that spot. But what if you put the second best person in the spot? Now you can't put the best person in when you find him.
Mm-hmm.
Because you filled it.
Right.
And if you have a good organization, that second best person is not going to want to leave because you've got a good organization.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that sounds judgmental, but so the two things that I put in my post for this morning, and that's one of the reasons, the reason why we do the next page is because you can't fully develop a thought in 300 to 500 words, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked two things that I think, just to start out with, is passion. We need to hire people that have passion. We need the energy in business today, and we need people that have a passion. So I put a passion for life, a passion for people, and a passion for what we do as an organization. And the reason is, When I in supervisory leadership, I have a session on motivation, and it starts out with a slide that says motivation can best be described as an internal drive to fulfill a need. And that's really true. Motivation, I can't motivate someone to do something.
Right.
They have to motivate themselves. And if we've got people that don't have passion, you can't motivate them.
Mm-hmm.
They're just, you can bribe them. You can coerce them. You can try to manipulate them through bonuses and dangling incentives in front of them and raises in front of them. But we want people that have an internal drive to do what we do. And that only comes if they've got passion.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing, and this would be no surprise to anyone, was, are they a person with a growth mindset? I want people to come to work with me because they want to grow. They've chosen to work with me because they want to grow. If I find that person, now I'm all set.
Mm-hmm.
That's a person that's going to be the right person, so to speak, for the job. Now, we've got a bunch more things that we'll talk about, but one of the things I want to tell you, I want to add here is I hired a person that had the growth mindset, and then I ignored her. I ignored her ideas, and she checked out, and I ended up losing her. So, I say that as a warning to all the leaders out there. When you find this right person, make sure you stay connected. Make sure you're focused on what they're looking for in life and make sure you're listening to their ideas. Or at some point you may have what I had where after you've terminated this person because they mentally in your mind had checked out, you find out that they leave a note that says, don't give them your opinion. They don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an episode that goes way back. Maybe what I'll try to do, Marissa, for that, because I don't want to take a lot of time talking about it, is I'll go back and I will look at the episode where I talked about my greatest leadership failure.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's when I talk about that situation.
Yeah.
So I will make a note to find that episode. So when you saw this, clearly after you got past the fact that David didn't have a typo, what thoughts came to mind when you think about that right hire? What's that person like?
I think that person has a positive attitude.
Okay.
I think we're looking for people who are flexible yet structured.
Yep. Sure.
Not rigid.
Okay.
But especially now where I think it's unacceptable to say, well, that's not my job.
Right.
We live in a time where we need to help each other. We talked last week, we need to lift each other up.
Yes.
And so I think that is really important. I guess it's also kind of like a team player, someone who can work well with others.
Right.
And is not only positive, but forward thinking and excited about what they're doing. So I guess that's similar to passionate. But I think that excitement is something that, you bring with you every day when you come to work. Are you excited or are you, dragging? Because that
right.
that not only impacts how that person will perform, but how the team dynamics will shift that day. I think we've talked about this before. If your coworker walks in and they're excited and they, say good morning and they're like ready to go for the day, I know that might sometimes be a little jolting, but it sure beats when someone comes in dragging.
Right.
And bringing everyone else down with them.
Exactly. And, and I know you're not talking about that person that just takes a couple hours to be, happy, so to speak.
Right.
You're talking about that person that literally comes in with dragging with some baggage that they just mm-hmm. can't wait to share with the team type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. One of the things that I found and I had shared with you, that Inc. magazine had this article about the key things to this great or right, whatever you want to call it, employee. And the enthusiasm one is really what you were talking about. There. Mm-hmm. They come in, they're enthusiastic. They're enthusiastic about being at work.
Right.
They're enthusiastic about the mission that the company has
mm-hmm.
and the goals and the objectives. And, you know, if you can't get excited about what your organization does, maybe you're in the wrong organization.
Right.
Or maybe you just don't know enough about it.
Well, I think some of it is mindset, too. I mean, if you generally know, like, hey, I'm going to be, if you say you work in an office, I'm going to be here from 8:30 to 5 today, and I can choose to either be excited and enthusiastic and look for the things, look for the opportunities in my day, or I can choose to be miserable and negative and, I guess, the opposite of enthusiastic.
Right. Yes, right.
But regardless, you're going to be there. You're going to be there one way or another, spending the day.
Right.
There's always something. You can find the excitement. There's always something.
Exactly. And, you know, and so when you're interviewing a person, ask them, you know, mm-hmm. why do you want to work here?
Mm-hmm.
Why this organization? You know, I remember interviewing somebody that wanted to work at Macne, and I said, why Macne? Why would you choose to work for the Manufacturers Association?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to know what is it that they're just looking for a job? And if they're just looking for a job, I'll wait a little bit longer
mm-hmm.
till we find the other person. You know, are they interested in looking? Is it just our benefits and our pay? Well, if that's the case, you're the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
I want somebody that's excited about us. And I love this other thing that was in the Inc. magazine article follow up. You know, not every interviewee will follow up with a thank you note
mm-hmm.
after the interview. That's a key thing. And if an organization interviews you and you write a thank you note,
mm-hmm.
that's special. That's kind of when we talked last week about the difference between ordinary and extraordinary. It's just a little extra.
Yep.
You know, if you're going into interview, do you know enough about the organization to ask the right kind of questions?
Mm-hmm.
That shows you did your homework. I like this one too, the curiosity.
Yeah.
You know, does this person show curiosity? Are they interested in where the company's going?
Mm-hmm.
Are they interested not just in, okay, what's my upward mobility opportunities? Now that is what they're interested in,
mm-hmm.
but there's gotta be a deeper driver than that. So what do you think it takes to be a good listener? Like how could we here I go asking you questions I didn't tell you I was gonna ask. Which are most of the questions I ask you, I never told you. But what do you think are characteristics of a good listener?
At like from the perspective of like if I was interviewing someone, how could I tell if they were a good listener?
Yeah. That's a hard one.
Yeah.
You just made it harder on yourself.
Right.
When you qualified it down to as I'm the interviewer. Well, let's start with the easy one.
Mm-hmm.
So what would be the characteristics of a good listener, period, like just in general?
Giving your full attention, so not doing other things while you're listening.
Like looking at your phone or...
Right, not looking at your phone
or
otherwise daydreaming.
Sure.
I think it helps if you can verbalize back you just heard.
Sure.
So if, you know, you're being asked a question or if you're asking a question, look for the person to respond in a way which makes sense, which shows that they listened what you asked. But, you know, they might include some of the details that you had in your original question.
Exactly. And perhaps take one of your questions and ask a clarifying point to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's proving that they can process what you're saying.
Right.
And the key is that good listeners build relationships. Mm-hmm. They're good at relationship building. They're authentic listeners. Maybe also you're looking for, you know, you're asking a question and someone says, well, so as I'm hearing your question, I'm thinking this.
Right.
That type of thing is what you're going to want to be looking for in that interviewee. I just, because this listening piece is huge. And we live in a day and age where people live by, you know, short sound bites.
Mm-hmm.
So can somebody actually sit there and process a longer conversation?
Right. And I was going to mention, it's not always, you know, just because someone's a fast responder doesn't mean that they were listening. Often it's the opposite. Because if you're asking a complex question that, you know, would take more than a yes or no response.
Right.
To really listen and process, you're doing them separately, not listening with the intent of spitting something back out, because right. you'd skip the process step. So I think, you know, looking for that, are the wheels turning when you're talking?
Exactly. Exactly. Years ago, I used to do a session as part of supervisory leadership on interviewing people, interviewing skills.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a great video that I would show that shows how long ago it was on behavioral interviewing. And really, so you want to ask the person, you want to know enough about the job you're filling to ask them questions about previous work history or life history that could be applied to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so one of the ones that I always like to ask is, you know, tell me a time in a previous job or some time in life when you had difficulty getting along with someone. How did you handle that? And if somebody comes back and says, well, I get along with people really well, that's not the question I asked. I want to know of an example when you didn't. And I think those are the kind of things where you can tell if the person is really listening to the question or are they just trying to regurgitate a response quickly. So I love that your point there about they're going to take some time to answer. And I've a lot of times I've said to an interviewee when they just said, that's a really hard question, I say, well, that's fine. We have some time. Take your time with an answer. Because I really want to dig deep. I think one of these other ones, they talked about a person with personality. Of course, everybody has a personality. So you just want to make sure the personality fits the organization.
Right, fits the culture, but fits with the people they'll be working with. Fits the culture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I love the one about a funny side.
Yeah.
You know, I never would have thought that, but that's a great one. We want to hire people with a sense of humor.
Right.
You know, I remember one of my first conversations with the owner of SelfLock, Bob Stevens, when I was hired, and he said, you know, you got to have fun at work.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we spend so much of our life, we spend the majority of our waking life at work.
Mm-hmm.
We better enjoy it. We better like who we're with. And if you just get the connect, if there's no connection during an interview, that might be saying something. Now, Dave Ramsey, in his book, Entree Leadership, talks about how Ramsey Solutions interviews people, and they'll actually take people like out to dinner to see how they react, and they want the spouse there as well. They will take people shopping just to see how they react.
Yeah.
I highly recommend that book, Entree Leadership. You know, and that's one of the things we talked about in this year is maybe doing some book reviews. So that might be a good one. Think about if you want me to do a review of Entree Leadership, and we can kind of both do it together.
Yeah,
because it is a great book. Then we talked about positivity. We talked about flexibility. You already mentioned that. Drive and passion, I think, are similar. You know, I want somebody that's going to challenge me. I want some. Now, I didn't always. Full confession time here. When I used to think I knew a lot more than I really did, because you know, as you get older, you realize you don't know a lot. But now I want somebody that's going to push me. I want somebody that's going to push back and say, I'm not so sure about that. So that's real. And I want somebody that has a dream, that has beliefs, that thinks that there's a better future out there. So that to me was really great. I had another note here about asking a motivational fit question. You know, and so if somebody's leaving a job, I want to know why they left.
Right.
And I want to know what they found most satisfying and least satisfying in their last job. Because that's going to tell me that maybe this is not the right person. Maybe it is. But again, we're trying to gain a knowledge about the fit. So I think that's one of the keys in this, the right person. The right person's skills are part of it, but it's more a fit.
Right. Because you can teach a lot of those skills.
Yeah. I used to always say, I hired for attitude, I trained for skill. So if I've got the person that really clicks with the organization, they're a good fit. I highly recommend companies doing like a DISC assessment before they hire. When you narrow down your final three, invest a little bit of money on a DISC behavioral assessment to find out, you know, clearly where is this person on the behavioral spectrum in terms of dominance, influence, steadiness, and compliance, and will they fit the team? So were there any other thought? I mean, we've got these, I had sent you some notes about 20 things that are habits of highly passionate people, but are there any other things that you could think of that you'd want to look for to make sure the fit is right?
One thing that I think might be missing from the conversation and from this list is like organization. I'd say that's, you're not going to be surprised that I said that.
I was saying, big surprise that's coming from you.
And I mean it. I mean, not that, I know that everyone has a different process and a different level of organization, but I think having at least some sort of organization and seeing how that matches up with other people.
Yes.
Which might be something that's difficult to assess, but I mean, certain things to look for, you know, do they respond in a timely manner? Do they, you know, have they, can you tell that they've reviewed the job description thoroughly?
Right, right.
Do they appear disheveled or like, you know, have a folder with papers flying out of it kind of thing? And just kind of understanding, sure. because this is someone, understanding how those, how the level of organization might match up with the position. If it's a position where you need someone who is highly efficient and can meet tight deadlines and can work with other people's deadlines, that's really important, because if you're introducing someone new into a process flow that can't work like that, not only is it not the right fit for that position, but it throws off the rest of the team.
Right. Right.
So kind of like figuring that out, talking to, when you're interviewing, talking to the person about, how do you like to work? Do you work well through email, or do you prefer phone, or this kind of understanding what their systems typically look like?
Right. And I think, and a key thing that you brought up there was, and we don't want to say, we do everything by email. Are you okay with that?
Right.
But when I say, you know, how do you prefer to work?
Yeah.
Do you prefer to, like you had mentioned there, you know, do you like working with email? Do you like working via, you know, phone or face-to-face?
Mm-hmm.
And without turning our cards over and showing what our organization does, because mm-hmm. that's, if they really want the job, they're going to agree with whatever we say, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things you were talking about organizing, one of the things I thought about was, you could say, you know, how do you typically structure your day?
Right. I was going to say, how do you manage your time?
Right. How mm-hmm. did you, you know, because what I want to find out is, do they have a time management, life management kind of system?
Right.
You know, that could also then, for instance, you know, do you have a growth plan?
Mm-hmm. And I want to emphasize that there's not like a right or wrong answer.
Yeah.
It's does it fit with exactly. the people that this person will be introduced into?
Right.
/ the way the organization sure. functions.
Yep, exactly. We, you know, and we may actually interview a person that is not a good fit for us, but we may know an organization where they're mm-hmm. the perfect fit.
Mm-hmm.
And then being able to help them find that position. Some of the habits that I thought were interesting, you know, curse the excitement, courage.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved how, you know, courage is something that is built up. It's like a muscle. You need to exercise it. You build it up. It's not, so I want somebody that's courageous, that has, you know, at some point in their life taken some risks to try things that they've never tried before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, determination, positivity, that was good. Single-mindedness. And I thought this was interesting, because we all want people to be able to, you know, embrace a lot of things. But what they meant by that was to be able to focus on what's important when it's important,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so I think I kind of touched on, there was another thing here, non-balance. And what I meant by that, what I took from what these folks were saying, was there is no such thing as a true balance in life on a daily basis. It's a seasonal balance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are going to be times when my job is requiring more than my normal 10-hour day, let's say. There are going to be times when I might have to work 12 to 14 hours, but then there also will be times when I can leave early type of thing. So I don't want people to think that you can find a job where I get to work my 8 and hit the gate every day of my work life.
Right.
You know, maybe if you want to end up being, you know, in maybe a retail function as a clerk or something, but you're not going to build a career on that. And knowing what's important when it's important. And you know, our listeners know that you know, you made decisions for what's important when it's important with for your daughters and your husband, and that I fully support that. That there's so that's I guess what I'm trying to get at when I talk about that. The self-motivated we already talked about. I love this one, realistically dreamy. You know, I want people that are always dreaming for what yet can be accomplished. And it doesn't mean we're not satisfied. It just means that we're always looking forward, not living in the past.
Right.
And to me, that's crucial for anybody that I want to hire. I don't want somebody that wants to live in the past. How about this number 20 here, this excuse-free? You know, you cannot move from excuses to success. It doesn't happen. And with my coaching clients, whenever I'm having a conversation with one of them and they're talking about, you know, a failure, because guess what? We all fail. I always say, what'd you learn from that? You know, and it can't be, well, I had a lousy team. Okay, why'd you have a lousy team? What'd you learn from that? Because until they're willing to look at the failure and say, wow, I screwed up. Huh, better not be that stupid again. I'm going to do this, this, and this. Great.
Right.
Now we can move forward. So I was excited about this topic.
I think it's it's really important, and especially now, I think.
Yeah.
Just to think about, okay, what positions are we looking to hire, and how can we make sure that we have the right fit?
The right fit, exactly. Because, and when we do, our employees will be our greatest asset. Without a doubt. And other organizations will be envious of the people we have. And my goal is not to make people envious, but I am competitive enough to be happy if they are. How's that? So, we covered it.
Yep, and I'm not going to ask about next week because you already said it's going to be
I have an idea, but it needs to age a little bit more. And I'm going to have some time to think in the next few days because I'll be traveling again. So anything exciting happening? So as we record this, we're looking at Father's Day weekend. So are there anything special?
Yes. Just
going to
spend family some time. Spend some time with my dad. He's been out of town. So it'd be good to see him. And of course, spending time with my husband. How about you?
Great. Well, I'm traveling to Ohio for a planning meeting for the church conference that we have every summer, but I will be at my daughter's house for Father's Day, and we'll get to see my father-in-law as well, because he lives in Ohio.
Oh, so, that's great.
It's great. I'm excited about it. And you know what? I also get to spend a couple days in the car with my wife with nobody else around, and that's enjoyable as well. So, so with that, I think we need to end the second anniversary episode of the Next Page. Wow.
Yeah.
So I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
And this was The Next Page.